ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER101. We're talking about a summer safety, and the sun and heat this summer can be extremely dangerous. So do you know the symptoms of a severe heat illness or how to protect yourself from the sun? To talk about this, we have our expert, Dr. Charles Padovina, well known to the show. He's the chief of emergency medicine at St. Joe's Hospital in Bangor, Maine. He's been a past board of director for the American College of Emergency Physicians and their spokesperson. So welcome, Dr. Padovina. Thanks for being back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So let's, you know, talk about this. It's officially summertime and, you know, temperatures will start soaring. It's been a crazy spring. There's been summer temperatures some places in the country in spring. But how common are heat-related illnesses every year in the U.S., would you say?
They're actually very common, particularly during periods when the temperature reaches extremes. And unfortunately, even though this is entirely preventable, we do see, you know, hundreds of people actually die each year from the more severe spectrum of the illness.
Yeah. So, and what it actually causes it? I mean, it's how we regulate our body temperatures, isn't it, that contributes to it? Or
right. Your body likes to maintain a nice normal temperature, and part of that includes being able to get rid of heat. So when the temperature rises above normal body temperature, it's actually not only is it hard to get rid of heat, but the external environment raises your temperature further, and a lot of the mechanisms your body has to shed heat basically break down.
So like if it's extremely, maybe it's not that way in Maine, but Maryland and the South can get extreme high humidity, very muggy. So if we're sweating and it's moist outside, it's the sweating that kind of wicks the heat away. But I guess if it's really muggy, you can't evaporate it. Isn't that what happens?
Right, because as your body produces sweat that ends up on your skin, the process of evaporating that removes heat or causes, you know, a drop in temperature on the surface of the skin, helping you to lose heat. And but if there's already a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, it's harder for that sweat to turn into moisture and or turn into, you know, vapor and get off your skin. So it's really hard to cool down outside when the temperature is high and it's very humid. And you're right, I'm sure it is worse down there at the height of the season.
Yes, it certainly is. And we're in the middle, Maryland. I'm sure way down south it's a real problem. So what is the spectrum or heat illness? Like, you know, how is it broken down? We talk about, you know, you hear people talk about heat cramps, heat exhaustion, heat stroke. What are the difference in all of those things?
Well, people can get things like, right, a heat rash, which can just be an annoying, itchy problem that, you know, gets better when you get into air conditioning. Certainly there is a sunburn, which is not good. People, as you said, the milder end of the spectrum is heat cramps, where people just feel a little bit unwell and may, in fact, have cramps in their muscles or in their abdomen area. As the process gets worse, because instead of, you know, shedding more heat, people are just getting hotter. They start to feel faint, really fatigued. They can have heavy sweating, and even a bit ironically, a bit cold and clammy skin. But they get dizzy, nausea, vomiting, can actually faint. And when it's really bad, they may even stop sweating or pass out.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I've read, you know, you can tell people, and I've seen it, it's when you get this goosebumps in the heat. You know, people think of goosebumps in the cold, but when you're out there and hot and you're getting goosebumps and you're clammy, that sometimes can be a sign. And so the most dangerous. And isn't it dangerous for people? Because sometimes when you're going through it, you don't even realize, certainly as people lapse into heat stroke, you know, they can become confused, unaware of their situation. So they might not even know what's going on. So that's what's dangerous for the person, correct?
Yeah, that's a great point, because I did not mention that people do get confused, and they may in fact do exactly the wrong thing if they're by themselves, and you know, make their problem worse or even fatal, because they think they're getting cool, but they're not.
Yeah, so that's like a good tip. So it's called heat stroke. So think, you know, the same symptoms as stroke: confusion, hallucination, you know, seizures, lapsing into a coma. And that's the true medical emergency. If you see somebody that's like that, wouldn't you recommend that they call 911 right away?
Yeah, do what you can in the meantime, but definitely call 911. You know, get them out of the heat. Give them some water, you know, raise their legs. You know, you could even pour water on them, or a cold, I'd say blanket, but you don't want anything too heavy. So definitely anything you can do to get them out of the heat and get water in them and on them while you're waiting for rescue to arrive.
Yeah, absolutely. But of course, you know, we want to reiterate, if someone's unconscious, don't force water on them. You know, if they seem unconscious or have waning consciousness where they're very out of it, there's a chance, you know, that they could choke. So you don't want to force fluids into them. But I think getting them away, fanning them is probably a good thing, too. Don't you agree?
Right. Yeah, certainly don't want to do anything like, you know, try to feed them water if they can't cooperate. Yeah, good point.
So what tips do you have for people ahead of time so that they don't get into this situation? You know, as far as like, you know, being hydrated and things like that, covering up, what are some tips that people can take and precautions if they have to be out in the heat, working in the heat or whatever?
Right. As they want to acclimate to the temperature changes. So to the extent possible, if you're, you know, working outside because you have to, or choosing to exercise in hot weather, you want to sort of move into that gradually, and you certainly want to hydrate every time. Certainly drink even more water than you think you're going to need. You don't want to be the least bit thirsty when you step outside to work or exercise on a hot day. You know, if you're not sure, drink an extra, you know, 8 or 12 ounces of water.
Yeah, and also you might want to consider something like Gatorade, especially if you're sweating a lot, because you are losing some salts and minerals in your sweat. So a sports drink, that might not be a bad thing to think of, too.
Definitely, yeah. Other things you can do are, you know, wear, what we say, light and loose-fitting clothing, because you'll be trapping heat in whatever you wear. Anything you can do to keep the sun off you, like a sort of a breezy large hat that you know, will reflect the rays away.
And that's a good point. And when we talk about sun, because we don't have that much time, but what about sunscreen? I mean, a lot's been said about sunscreen. It prevents aging. What type of sunscreen should people wear outside?
You want to wear a broad spectrum that would cover both the UVA and UVB spectra of rays, and at least an SPF 15. Even on a cloudy day, if you're outside a lot, it's the ultraviolet rays that really cause the damage, and they, you know, go right through the clouds. So, and particularly at the middle part of the day too, when the sun is basically closest to us, we want to be, you know, make sure we're wearing the sunblock. And you also have to reapply frequently, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's no such thing as all-day sunblock at all. So I want to thank my guest. And I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.